grey German bunkers and seawalls stand around our coastlines as a constant reminder of the Channel Islands' occupation, don't they? A new TV series called Secret Nazi Bases is going to take a closer look at Guernsey's physical World War II scars. It's due to be broadcast on the Yesterday Channel in November.
1940, Hitler has finally conquered a piece of Great Britain and transformed the Isle of Guernsey into an impregnable fortress.
There is so much invested here.
He built 29 tunnels, munition stores, hospitals, its own water reservoir, Enigma machine, a Freya radar system. This was effectively its own self-contained underground city.
It's a huge amount of concrete, and it's unrealistic to put that on a 65 square kilometer island.
It's not just Guernsey that features in the programme. There are locations across Europe. Daniel Oren is the executive producer and director of Secret Nazi Bases. I asked him to explain the series and where else they've filmed.
We focused on Guernsey as part of the Channel Islands. We did mention that it was part of a bigger programme around the Channel Islands. Then we hopped over to the Maisie Batteries in Normandy, where an amateur historian and avid collector, Gary Stern, who's a Brit, has uncovered in recent years an unknown base the size of 4 football fields, quite spectacular, giant base that was very heavily involved at D-Day that seemed to have vanished from history and in its own has caused quite a bit of controversy and excitement on the subject of D-Day.
How did that discovery take place then? Like you say, I mean, it's an area, Normandy, that's been visited by so many people and that it's such a crucial part in the Second World War. How does something like that get forgotten about?
You know, it's the question we asked in the entire episode. Gary stumbled upon it in the early 2000s and, you know, by complete accident, he found a map in the trousers of an item that he was purchasing at an Ohio military collectivist show. He followed the trail almost like a modern-day Indiana Jones and went to France, stumbled over literally some stuff in the field, asked around. Everybody said, ah, there's nothing there. And then he dug up a bunker and a trench. And then he called up all the major historians, and they're like, no, it's nothing serious. And then, you know, years later, something the size of a living museum almost.
Incredible.
Right after that, we went up to an amazing site that is a little bit out of the path. So it probably could get a lot more attention if it was closer to Normandy, but it is one of the most spectacular places I've been, called Kraftwerk Nord, which is near the forest at Bellec, which I'm probably not pronouncing properly, in northern France. And it is an unbelievable V2 bunker, and it's still standing, and it's been bombed to heck, and it's still standing. So it was another episode of ours, and we sort of dug into the secrets and the construction of that one. After that, we filmed in the Canary Islands, which might seem very unusual, but there is a house there, a mansion on a beach in a remote area that is relatively inaccessible to the world, definitely back in the 1930s would have been, that is disconnected from anything and has a lot of strange features that has many historians, engineers, and researchers struggling to explain, with lots of question marks about whether or not it was a Nazi U-boat coordination base, possibly other darker, sinister things. You'd have to watch the episode. And then in addition to that, we were in Poland at a place called Dag Bromberg, which is a 25 square kilometer massive explosives factory that was built into the forest. It looks like something out of Hobbiton and Lord of the Rings. It's literally a complete opposite of what you expect from Nazi construction. It's not that imposing, massive concrete. It's thousands of bunkers and tunnels dug into the hills with things planted on top and built like Dr. Seuss angles. And it was never discovered until the Russians came in at the end of the war. So that was incredible. And the final episode that we filmed was at Bergkristall in Austria, which has recently made a lot of news because of the discovery of another journalist filmmaker, Andreas Sulzer, who was one of our characters on that show. And he has been spending the last few years, along with a consortium of other experts, researching very unusual radioactive activity in the tunnels that the government disputes as being natural, but seems to be way higher. And there are other mysteries and tunnels dug around that are not acknowledged that we visited. And his theory is that it might have been an atomic program. That's the show in a nutshell for season one.
I'm speaking to you in Toronto. You're in Canada. That's where you're based. I wonder how the Channel Islands came upon your radar as a place to visit.
When we started, we initially were looking for things that might seem off the map for most people. And although Guernsey and, to a large extent, all the other islands in that region are massively fortified, they are not necessarily a destination like Normandy. they don't command the same traffic and interest as some of the Holocaust memorials, and by extension of that, the other German structures that exist in Central and Eastern Europe. And they're not on mainland Britain, so they're not the giant airfields and the big war museums. So in many ways, we felt that they were sort of special in the sense that there have been other programs made about them. There have been lots of books written about them. There's even been the odd movie. But we still felt that our audience wouldn't really know the Channel Islands in particular, and specific islands like Guernsey or Jersey. One of the other interesting things is that I think a lot of people just look at it, and even if they know it, they go, yeah, well, you know, they went out there and they built a bunch of bunkers and they put a bunch of soldiers on it, and that was the story. It's much deeper than that, and of course you guys live there, so you know this on a daily basis. But once we started digging, we just found out that there were so many plans, so many secrets, so many plots, so much construction, so many plans beyond where Germany made it to at the end of the war, even with the Channel Islands, that the Channel Islands kind of play a bit of a pivotal role, even though there was no giant battle over them. One of the things we sort of realized is that if Hitler and the Nazis had not put so much effort into the Channel Islands, specifically Guernsey too, in many ways, perhaps D-Day would have been bloodier and more difficult, because for the life of us, initially when we started researching it, we just couldn't figure out why the hell would you do so much on these seemingly, you know, on the surface, meaningless islands from a strategic standpoint. So that's what drew us to it. We just had to dig more because it wasn't obvious, you know. And on the surface, it looks obvious. Here's a giant bunker and a ton of concrete walls. But then when you dig, you're like, well, why are they there? Why would they do that? Why wouldn't they abandon it? Why would they keep building it until the end of the war? It made no sense.
Daniel Oren, the executive producer and director of Secret Nazi Bases. It's due to be broadcast on the Yesterday Channel in November. More from Daniel soon. He's going to talk about arriving in the Channel Islands and discovering more about Guernsey's occupation. Now, I was just saying before that you walk around the island, you drive around the island, and you see constant reminders that it was occupied during the Second World War. A new TV series called Secret Nazi Bases is taking a closer look at Guernsey's physical World War II scars, its bunkers, its seawalls. It's due to be broadcast on the Yesterday Channel in November. Daniel Oren is the executive producer and the director of the show Secret Nazi Bases. I asked him what it was like arriving in Guernsey to film there.
I don't think anything prepares you for the actual site. You know, we have a really good research team. We have an incredible library online now in the world called the internet, which allows you to just see things almost as if you were there. In some cases, they're virtual tours. In some cases, they're 360 or VR experiences. And there's lots of that available. So we did have a really good idea of what we were going to. And my crew and I have traveled the world. We've seen quite a bit. And so you're not walking in naive. But then you stand there on a cliff looking at the MP4 or MP3 bunker, and the crazy crashing waves and this insane wind that was not the easiest to film in. And I'm assuming most of the islands have the same welcoming quality in December. And, you know, and this starkness of these beasts of structures that are sort of still standing there almost like the, you know, sentinels, almost like the Easter Island structures. They're just there. They're imposing. And yet they're contrasting with this unbelievably beautiful, stunning, warm, you know, even in the winter, and welcoming environment of the island. And you know, we flew over the other islands. We've seen some other imagery when we researched it. We were aware of the other islands and what they look like and what's built on them. So we assumed that they're all individually, you know, they all have their own personality, but that they all have sort of that same exotic feel that we felt on Guernsey. So really nothing prepares you, because you land in a normal modern airport. You drive by some really beautiful oceanside houses and fields and cows and people and modern, you know, triathlon bikers biking up and down the roads and some surfers, just like anywhere else you've been on the coast. And then, boom, you just hit this unbelievable labyrinth of construction. It almost makes you feel at some point like it's grown out of the island rather than the other way around. It almost feels like the island was dropped on top of these structures because they're just everywhere.
Tell me a little bit about who you actually spoke to in Guernsey as well. Who showed you around?
I don't think you have enough time on your program for me to list the amount of people that have been helpful to us on Guernsey alone. It was unbelievable. They not only drove us around everywhere, they took care of absolutely everything. We felt very much babysat and luxury. because on every other expedition that we've done or every other shoot like this, I mean, we've had some great people on the ground, but we've never felt like almost like they built the island for us and off we go and they'll just take us on the tour.
Daniel, why do you think it's important to document these places that you visited?
That's a really good question. We asked ourselves through this entire time, you know, what's our purpose? So obviously this is a commercial product and it's got buyers and people that acquired the show around the world. And we don't have the slightest idea who, where, at what time is watching it with what intent. So we always had to be careful how we wanted to portray this. And I think the thing that's really important is there are two sides to this project. One is the unbelievable engineering ability, the incredible dark plots and secrets and mysteries, clues of which are still unraveling today, which is unbelievable 75 plus years later. It has a side that is really easy to geek out over the structures, the amount of concrete, the intelligence, and the ability of these engineers. I mean, the Germans were at the forefront of everything. Till this day, there's things that we're looking at and going, oh, that's still quite impressive almost 8 decades later. And then there's another side of this, which is that it's really important that with all of that, for lack of a better word, awe-inspiring history that's still standing in front of us, we have to remember what it was for, and we have to remember how it was made. And I think it's really critical in places like the Channel Islands and others that we were filming that we understand that, of course, they can build these things at immense speed with an unlimited seemingly logistics challenge because they commanded slave labor and prisoners of war and concentration camp inmates. So if you have unlimited labor that you don't care if literally dies on the job, which they did all over the island and all over Europe and anywhere the Nazis went, you can build unbelievable things. It is somewhat reminiscent of the stories that we grew up on, like, you know, Roman construction and, you know, other empires like, you know, the Egyptian Empire. And also, these were ultimately built for an evil purpose, which was the conquest of the modern world, enslavement of anyone that wasn't, you know, German Aryan, and the extermination of certain groups, including my own. You know, I'm Jewish and I'm from Israel, and some of my family was in Europe at the time of the Holocaust. So we kind of felt that it was important to make this project for two reasons. One is pay homage to some of the incredible construction and really delve into the mysteries and the secrets of it. And the second one is to remind everyone that this was an evil in the past, and the sentinels are still standing there for us to look at. And especially in the modern time where you're seeing the rise of fascism and you're seeing the rise of you know, the seeds of what might have been planted at that time, it's important because the history is still sitting in front of us. It's not in a book. You know, when you guys go to work every day, you're passing it on your islands. And I think that that's something that's important to talk about.
Executive producer and director of Secret Nazi Bases, Daniel Oren. You'll be able to see the show on the UK TV Yesterday channel. It's a bit later on this year, the 8th of November, 8 p.m. it's supposed to be on. 8th of November, 8 p.m. I'll remind you nearer the time, but fascinating speaking to Daniel and hearing about his experience coming over to the Channel Islands and filming in Guernsey.